The Holy Gospel is written in the ninth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with the first 30. They left the place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum, and when they were in the house, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they argued who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be very last and a servant of all." And he took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever comes like little children in the name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. This is kind of one of my favorite passages of the Bible. He's basically telling the disciples, and when he wants to spend time with them, children are important, and children is the way that we ought to come. At this time, it's neat to see Jesus. He's been trying this, as you know, as we've gone through, having a time with the disciples just to sit with them and teach them. And sometimes the greatest times that we have are times that we just sit around and study the Word of God. We had a series, and I think that was the closest time on some of the things as we went. I'm learning, you're learning, and it was a good time to be able to just to open the Word of God and see what he had. And that's what God wants from us, is to look at, as he picked that child up, could you imagine picking the child up and him putting him in his arms? What a beautiful sight that was. So I was just looking at some things and I'm thinking, okay, why is it that we should be more like the type of a child? And I think if we look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Some of you went to work this week, right? You had a path that you have to take. You're probably in a point where you just normally take it, so you just figure, okay, well, I'll get there. I know this is the way. In our daily lives, there are things that we know. We have all these help tools now, right? GPS things, our Apple phone, and sometimes, have you ever gone to the point where it said go somewhere, and guess what? It was on the other side of the road. Or the road wasn't there. I had that happen when GPS first came out. And I remember it saying, it said there was a road. Well, there was a plan years ago for a road, and somebody had put it into the map, but guess what? If you kept going, you were off the road. He's asking for us to simply trust him. Do you remember being little? Or has it been a long time ago? Do you remember having little ones or grandchildren or just seeing a child? There's a sense of trust. It's funny because when you get a child, there's no instruction book, is there, other than the Bible? There's no instruction book. They don't come with a set of instructions. And man, we wouldn't read it anyway, would we? It's kind of like when we're trying to put something together. I'll look at it later. Well, it's all in Japanese. I'm not going to do it. And then later on, we find we have some washers left over and some bolts. But if it sits up, if that's what it's supposed to do, we'll leave it alone and put those in the toolbox for later on, just in case we need them. There's no instructions on a child. I remember my children as they were growing up, and also teaching Sunday school and Awana classes. And at a certain ages, as they're growing, we know as a baby, they have to have full trust in you, don't they? Can't even really move around till they can crawl away. But they're fully in trust of you to take care of them, to know when they eat and to change them and keep them taken care of and shelter them. But later, I always liked the age of two. Age of two, most of mine at the time, they were potty trained. Whew. Don't have to deal with that. I've made a deal on the third one. When the third one came, I said, you can stay home if you want, but I don't want to change any diapers. Best I can, I don't want to have to deal with that. But two, they did it themselves. They took care of themselves and knew how to use a restroom. But at two, nothing could be wrong. Parents weren't wrong. Did you know that? You didn't get the little answer like, well, you don't know what it's like. Things have changed. You're ancient. You don't know what it's like. What was it? My dad can beat up your dad. My mom knows everything. And they didn't make judgments on you. They simply trusted in what you said. Sometimes they had to experience it too. Don't put your hand on the stove because it's hot. You still remember it. But how many put your hand on the stove to find out if it what hot was? But most of the time, a child trusts. There's nothing you have to do to earn the trust. It's simply because you're taking care of a need. The child trust. And isn't it neat if you see grandchildren, whatever, they want to run up to you and hug you and hold your hand. They know who you are. They trust you. And those are some special times when kids are little, and especially if you're granted grandchildren or great-grandchildren, you have the ability, then they just simply come. Sad thing is they grow up, right? Kind of like a puppy. That great one, that little puppy, they look cute and they're small, but then they get big. But trusting, and that's what God wants. And it says that he wants us to do it from our heart. And I think that's where a child comes from. It's an innocent thing coming from the heart that they have trust. And in everything that goes on in life, isn't it nice when you get to a point in your Christian life that you know you don't have to trust what this world has to offer? You simply trust God. And we are conditioned as we age to learn to trust ourselves or trust other things. To move in a direction that we separate from what our parents believe, we separate from what the church has told us, and we're told to think freely. And our minds have changed. When I went to college, I was so surprised. I thought I was going to learn things. But there was more time on learning, trying to unlearn or get me to unlearn things. The first thing it was, even professors would tell you, that you were taught by your parents, forget all that stuff. There's a new thing and a new way of thinking. See what you have and use your mind. Do what you want and test it and see if it's good. Boy, were we told right off the road. Those days of a child, where you didn't have to question anything, you just simply trusted. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves for there before God, resist the devil, and guess what? He'll flee from you. Be submissive. A little child learns something. they learn not only does mom and dad have the best for them and love them, but when mom or dad says do this or do that, guess what? You better what? Do it. Right? If they met a police officer and the officer said, don't put your bike over here, what would the individual do? Put their bike where they're supposed to put it. There was a respect for a thing called authority, a uniform, a word, a look. You ever had to look? Did your mom ever give you the look? Did it make you look and act different? That's all you needed was a look. Some of all you need that is from your spouse, is a look. And then you know you're in trouble, don't you? You experienced that before? You got the look. So now we trust him, but we get to the point where we need to be submissive to authority, and a child will submit to authority. Now, as we get older, we're taught to what? We learn to rebel against authority. And have you ever been shocked by that? I was shocked by that. My one daughter, we sent her, and she went to Christian college. And we figured, well, you know what? They'll keep the rules on them, right? They won't be able to do certain things or whatever. She was a blonde when she was born, strawberry blonde. When she came out of college, she had black hair. She came to visit the one time. What happened to my daughter? Black hair. And when she talked, there was something on her tongue. I asked her, what is that on your tongue? And then she stuck her tongue out, bleep, and there's this button or something on her tongue. Well, I didn't send you to college to get your hair colored and a button on your tongue. I said, when you talk to your mom, make sure you talk like the little owl in the story. We talk like this. So she don't see it. There's something that happens. And even in our Christian life, there's a part of us where we're hungry, we learn, we're trusting, but there's sometimes a problem with the word submit. Submit to the Word of God. One of the things we've been trying to teach in the weeks and the months is your relationship with God is a personal relationship. You need to be in the Word daily. But do we really want to submit to know what we should be doing? And sometimes it's good that we train a child because they learn those habits. If you're in the Word of God and you're showing your kids and you show your grandkids, we're praying that that habit will continue. Did you know there are some things that you do because your parents did it? Sometimes we say things and it's, that's what my mom said. Or that's how my dad used to say it. Or when you're dating someone and you find out, you say, now I see her mom in her. Or I see her as dad in him. It carries through. But what we want is when it's the spiritual sense, we want those things that foster growing in Christ, because this world will say, throw that all away and grab onto what the world has. Submit to the Word of God. It's neat, too. A child knows where their home is, don't they? They know where they're safe. They also know where the cookies are, right? If you're a grandparent and they go to your house, where are they going to go? Where's the cookies, right? They know where they are. They also know how to get the cookies, don't they? Come on, Grandma, I haven't eaten for a whole week. Mom won't feed me nothing. And all we get is vegetables at home.
never get a cookie. Your cookies are the best. You need to make more. Even when they get older, my son, when he got to college, he wrote to his grandmother and said, "Can you send us some cookies?" They remember those things. They know where's happiness. It should be happy in the home. I know not all homes are, but it should be happy in a home. And it should be a place when you go home. What is one of the things after you've worked a long day? What do you want to do? You go home and you rest. Right? I used to, even when I went and took vacation, I'd always come back a day or two early because I needed to rest from my vacation before I hit the week. It used to be when I was out in the workplace, when Friday came, we were glad when Friday came because we were looking for the weekend where we might rest. You're probably waiting for this service to be over so you can hurry back home, you can turn on the sports or whatever and fall asleep as you rest. God wants you as a child to know that you need to be coming to Him this week, this day, and find rest. That's the neat part about life. As we age and we're going, there's a part of realization that I know that when I go home to be the Lord, I'll be at peace, I'll be safe, and I will find rest. Why does Jesus want me to come as a child? Trust. Be submissive. Learn to know you're in a place where you're safe. And I don't know about you, but as we age and we go on, there's a part of us that starts to worry. You ever know that word, worry? You worry about anything? We're not supposed to. Well, come on. We start to worry. We might worry about what the weather's going to do. Did I dress appropriate? Am I going to worry I'm going to get wet if it rains? Am I going to worry that tomorrow the job is there? Am I going to worry the bills get paid? Am I going to worry that I got some mail and I don't understand it? Am I going to worry that things in life are changing and I have no control? Am I going to worry? That's exhausting just even thinking about it, isn't it? That's what we need, that rest. But our tendency is to worry. Matthew 6, 25 for 34 and Philippians 4, 6 teaches, and you can look those up, that we shouldn't have to worry about certain things. Matthew tells us we shouldn't have to worry about what we wear. You ever worry about what you wear? I still do. I got a closet full of clothes. I got a walk-in closet. Guess what? That's about all you can do is you can walk in. There's not room really to hang anything else. You squeeze it back and try to put something else in there. I got to get down. But what are you going to wear? You ever worry about that? What are you going to eat? You look at it, you open up the fridge, you know, we got to order some groceries. Now I got to go through, maybe I'm going to have them ordered. And you ever gone through the list to see what you're ordering and you worry? Nowadays, you don't worry about the groceries in the sense of what you're going to have. You worry if you can pay for them, because it ends up being more expensive. You ever gone in the grocery store, just get a few items and they say, well, that'll be $107. What? Well, I got like five items. How'd I get that big? But do we worry? Do we worry if income changes? It used to be years ago, there's the thing called overtime. And people would start to get a lot of overtime, they would live on the overtime. And then when we counseled them on a financial matters, we said you need to be learning to live on your salary or on your base. And the overtime should go where? In a bank. Because there will be a day, you ever hear that? There'll be a rainy day. You ever hear that? Did your parents ever tell you? There might be a rainy day coming. And you need to be what? Ready. Prepare for that rainy day or something that might happen. But we learn as a child not to worry. Did you worry about those things when you were little? Did you worry about what you're going to eat? You get ready, you figure it's already there. Put that mac and cheese on the plate, now I'm going to go eat it, right? And worry. They worry about the money, then they figured you already had it. They ask if you go out to your money tree in the backyard and bring some money in, right? They had the tendency not to worry as a child. And God is telling us as we come to Him, we shouldn't be worried about all those things that the world wants us to worry about, the things that the world thinks that they have trapped us into, simply time with Jesus, not to worry. A child is dependent upon the parent. And so God is trying to teach that your dependency is not independence. Your dependency is upon Him. Have you found that life? Have you grew up? You became more and more dependent upon God? If you haven't, it's going to happen. You're going to see that the things of this world are not going to take care of all the things that you think you worry about. Your dependency, you want peace? Not the stuff that was what, in the 60s or stuff like that, but peace. A point of just, in a sense. Anybody here need peace? Isn't it nice to have peace, the peace of God? Having His peace. And then a child is always curious. Have you ever asked a child come to you and say, why? Why are there clouds? Why is it hot? Why? I always like to get to the point where you say, why? But it keeps going, doesn't it? There's a curiosity of wanting to know, to gather information, or to figure it out a little bit. And you know what God wants you to do as a child? He wants you to come to Him and say why. He wants you to come to Him and ask the questions. We have told you to feed upon His Word. And as you feed upon His Word, you get to know the why, you get to know the ins, the outs, you get to know all that God wants you to know by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're curious. Some of us want to know what life is going to be like in the afterlife. So we tell them to read what? The book of Revelation, revealing Christ. And when they get to 21 and 22, they may not understand it all, but they can go, wow. They're curious. They want to know. Have you ever want to know why did Jesus love me? We'll be singing, Jesus loves me, this I what? No. Remember the Gospel of John. He says, I write these things that you might know, not that you wish, you hope, or whatever, but that you might know. Jesus loves me, this I know. And we said, why? Because the... Oh, with that Bible again. That book I have to dust off. That book I have to look on my phone and see if I have an app. That one we said we must feed on it how often? Daily. You doing that? You working on that? What if we took your cereal box away, took it away for the week, took your food out of your fridge for a week? Would you be a little hungry? It needs to get to the point where you're hungry for the Word of God. You're curious. What does God have for me today? As a child. The other part about a child is there's part of life that we wish we got it back. They're joyful and they're happy. The world told me that I needed to buy hundreds of dollars of toys when they were little. And some of the toys were kind of cool. Some of them we might play with the night before Christmas or something like that. But what amazed me is that when the child got a gift, they played more with the bow, sticking it on the cat, sticking on a head, sticking on a furniture. And then for some reason, they like the box. They climb in the box. They act like the box was a car. They make it a house. But what about the toy? There was a joy of the simplicity of life, and they were joyful and playful. Galatians 5:22, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. A child knew what joy was. Do you remember what joy was like? When you first met the Savior and you found that He took away your sin, wasn't there a sense of happiness? You want to tell somebody? I made a decision for the Lord. There was a joy, and He wants us to have that as a child again. There's a simplicity of life to simply joy in the Lord. Carefree, child's carefree, those worries not there. Do you remember when your children wanted to be with you? Some of the most precious memories as a child is when my mom would take one of us and we just had one day or time with mom. None of the other siblings came. It was just my time, my mom. One time she did something I never thought she'd do. In England, she took me to the movies. And we watched two movies, not just one. One was a Western, one was the Daleks, I remember. Those times, the child wants to be with their parent. The child wants to be with a grandparent or great-grandparent. They want that. And Jesus is saying, I want you too to come to me as a child. You want to be with me. God shouldn't have to force you this week to spend time in His Word. God shouldn't force you to wake up this morning and you decide to come to church. God shouldn't get to the point where He has to say, you know, where have you been? Been missing you. He wants you to enjoy time with Him. Do you enjoy time with your Savior? As He becomes more and more real, you will. Then the thing about a child, they're brutally honest, aren't they? You ever remember those times you talked with a child? Oh, what do you think about that little baby, Johnny? It's ugly. What do you think about this? They will tell you. The problem is when we get to adults, we're not that honest, are we? To be very honest, we cover things up. We hide things. We try not to let people see who we really are. We're not very honest. We even lie. And we've learned to lie, and we learn to lie well, and we get to the point that people don't really know who we are. We let them see what we think they should see because we're afraid later on as we go when we've been lying so much that if they really knew who I was, guess what?
they wouldn't like me. They wouldn't love me. They think differently. And God is saying, I want you to come as a child. I want you to be honest. If you don't like the way things are, tell me, because guess what? I already know. If you're angry and you're dealing with something, you say, well, God, why did you put this in my life? Tell me. Be brutally honest. God, I don't like reading the Word of God because it's too heavy, it's too big of a book, got too many pages, or the letters are too small, I can't see them anymore. Be honest. Because God already knows you can't fool God. You may fool me, you may fool each other, but you can't fool God. And He says, I want you to come as a child. I want you to be honest. And when you are honest and you open up to God, you will draw closer to God and you'll find Him like a child finds a parent. And then the last thing is, there's a part of a child that is selfish. One of the things, if you have more than one child and you have one item, what happens? That's mine. It's mine. And we say, we got to share. Share that cookie. And they break the cookie and they give maybe a little piece, not even half. They're selfish. And God says, you know what? I want you to come as a child. I want you to be selfish. I want you to be a point where you want time with me, that you demand that time with me. I want you to feel the power of God by coming and be selfish. You need God. You need Him in your life. And tell me you want that. Tell me you want that for yourself. You want to experience that too. Somebody visit Ellie. Ellie's ready to go home. She made the decision. And there was a peace about that. But do you know what she did love? She loved everybody who came and was saying goodbye. And even if you were at the time she was doing well, you wouldn't have much time to tell her goodbye or talk to her, because guess what? Ellie's doing the talking. Folks, today, if there's any message we can give you, you need to humble yourself as a child and come before the throne of God and tell Him, I am here. I see you as my Father God. I want you to be number one. I have the greatest Father, and He can beat up anybody else. You will supply not just what I need, but you give me so much things abundantly that I don't even deserve, but you give them to me. And it causes me what? To love you more. And when I'm at work, when I'm somewhere else, I want to be able to come home and rest and be with you. And later in life, that point we get to and we say, I'm tired of all what the world has told me. I'm tired of all the things the world has to offer me. I want to rest in the arms of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Can you walk out today knowing the Savior? Can you walk out today and say, I give you all because I love you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want us to come as children. You don't ask us to come as PhDs. You don't ask us to come after learning all the Bible or studying all the books of the Bible, memorization, all those things may be good, but you just simply want us like a child to trust you, to love you, to have our dependency upon you. Continue to teach us today. And may we spend more time with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.